That's what holy means, to set aside for a specific purpose. And I remember saying in 1998, next year, 1999, we're going to have homecoming in our new building. I was 3 years off, okay? It was 4 years, not 1 year, that we would actually get the building built. But, you know, that's another story for another time. But music ministers to people's hearts. You say, well, do you have to listen to Christian music? That's your choice. You may listen to music that's not Christian music. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. To me, it's lyrics. You know, well, I don't like my wife, so I shot her. I don't think you need to listen to that stuff, you know. Listen to songs like, I don't like my wife, but God's helping me to love her. Something, you know, something like that, you know. Well, I got drunk last week, but that makes 7 days in a row. Yeah, just pass on that one, you know. And now we're living in the day with music videos. And if you're not careful, you'll be desensitized and you'll be taking things into your mind you really shouldn't be listening to or looking at. So you got to make that. I can't make that decision for you. But you need to be smart in what you bring into your mind that you're going to think about, whether you hear it or see it. And so, you know, you make your decisions along that line. But I do believe lyrics can influence our lives. Go back and read Ezekiel. I can't remember now, 28, 38, somewhere there. I believe one of Satan's chief jobs before the fall was the choir director of heaven. You don't think Satan uses music today to cause people to stumble? Look at some of the trash and the immorality that's on music videos today and in the lyrics. Okay, I'll move on because I don't want to get mad today. Verse 30. The priest and the Levites first purified themselves. Then they purified the people and then the gates and then the walls. So the wall is finished. The people revived. The city's being repopulated. Everything that really needs to be done has been done. So it's time for a celebration. In June of 2002, we had our 8:30 service over in the sanctuary. And after that service was over, I asked everybody to follow me as we came out the back door, down the ramp, and into the parking lot here, just outside the doors. And there were the deacons and the people that were on the building committee with a ribbon. And we cut the ribbon and we came into this gym for our first service in this building. It was a time of dedication. And so all the Levites are called to come together and they're getting ready to march up on the walls and sing to God. We'll look at that in just a minute. But before they did, the priest said, we want to make sure that we're pure. And the Levites said, we want to make sure that we're pure. And the people make sure that they're pure. And somehow they purified the gates and they purified the walls ceremonially. We're not told how they did it. Did they lay hands? Did they anoint with oil? Did they say a prayer of dedication? I don't think that's the important part here. I think the important part is they wanted to make sure they were right with God before they entered into Thanksgiving. And whatever they did, they knew what they should do individually. James 4, verse 8 says, come near to God and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you hypocrites. If I was to ask you this morning, is there things in your life that God's been speaking to you about? You know, you sort of need to change those things. Maybe things you're doing you shouldn't be doing. Or things you're not doing that you should be doing. You know your heart. You know your life. I don't. But what the priest did and what the Levites did and what the people did was we want to make sure everything in our heart is right with God. Before we come and celebrate, we don't want to be hypocritical in this issue. We want to be right with the Lord. And so we need to purify our hearts each day. I don't do it every Sunday when I come to church. I should. But many Sundays when I come to church, it's about a 10-minute drive from my house to the church. And usually I'm by myself because Kelly comes a little bit. She comes about the same time, but she leaves. She doesn't like to hear me twice, okay? So she comes at 8:30. They sing choir, then she leaves. So we drive separately to church. And as I come many mornings when I come, if not all of that time, at least part of that time, I said, Lord, I want to be right with you today. And I just sort of use that time to sort of purify my heart. You know, it's not a It's not an hour. It's not half the day. It's usually between 5 and 10 minutes just on my way to church to prepare myself. And even though I'm the pastor, it's something we probably all should do, you know, on the way to church. Instead of, where you been? I've been blowing the horn for 5 minutes. It's tough to come right into worship after that, you know. Okay, we'll talk about this when we get home. Hello, Pastor. Good to see you today. You know, how did you change? You know, a miracle just took place in the last 5 seconds of your life, you know. Purify our hearts. They wanted to make sure they were right with the Lord. So then what happened? Verses 31 and 38. I led the leaders of Judah to the top of the wall and organized two large choirs to give thanks. One of the choirs proceeded southward along the top of the wall to the dung gate, verse 38. The second choir, giving thanks, went northward around the other way to meet them. I followed them together with the other half of the people along the top of the wall. They've called the Levites. They've brought their instruments. The singers are there. They've gathered before the wall. They've purified themselves. And now it's time for the celebration. And they all go up on the wall. Now understand, this wall was probably around 12 feet thick. So it wasn't just like it could hold one person. And so these people up on the wall, massive choirs. And one choir, Nehemiah said, you guys go this way. And the other choir, you go this way. And we're going to be singing the whole time. And then we're going to meet on the other side. And we're going to come in through that gate to the temple. Very organized and how they very planned out and what they wanted to do. They probably had their songs all picked out and they'd rehearsed them, and this was a special day of celebration to the Lord. Verse 40 and 41. The two choirs that were giving thanks then proceeded to the temple of God, where they took their places, so did I, together with the group of leaders who went with me. We went together with the trumpet-playing priest. That's probably like a guitar-playing preacher, I don't know, but a trumpet-playing priest. It was a time of worship. You may have grown up in churches that I don't think we should have them drums in church. I don't think we should have them loud things in church. You know, to me, they blend beautifully. I haven't heard that at our church, but to me, they blend beautifully with the service. And I'm thankful for that. They had them in the Bible. I've been in services where people raise their hands in worship, and I feel a little bit uncomfortable with that. And then I read in the Bible where it says, lift your holy hands, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do with that one? It's just a difference in worship, difference in preference, difference in music. Doesn't mean one's right, one's wrong. Just do what you do to honor God. And so these choirs join together and they go around singing in joyous ways. And then verse 43, many sacrifices were offered on that joyous day, for God had given the people cause for great joy. The women and the children also participated in the celebration, and the joy of the people of Jerusalem could be heard far away. Everybody participated in the music. Everybody participated in the singing. Even the women and children. I'll leave it right there. It also says that they gave sacrifices during this time. Well, what's that all about? It's not hard to talk about giving when your heart's right with God. Now, the structure that Israel was set up is when the Israelites left the bondage of Egypt, 430 years, 40 years in the wilderness, and came into the promised land for the first time. Each tribe was allotted different places to live. The tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin were down near Jerusalem. The other tribes were spread throughout the land. But the tribe of Levi didn't have a land allocated to them because their interest was at the temple and serving the people in worship of God. So the way that the Levites and the priests' needs were met through the offerings of the people. And so when they had their harvest, they brought 10% of that crop to the temple. And if you go back and look at the temple, you'll see in maybe some of your studies that the temple had storehouses. And so these people bring all this food, and it's more than can be eaten at one setting, of course. And so it's put in these storehouses, and that's what some of the gatekeepers did. They watched over these storehouses so people wouldn't steal food. At church? Yeah, sometimes people steal at church. Now, we've not had that issue. As a matter of fact, if you're thinking this week of breaking in the church and stealing something, let me just remind you that we have cameras outside that's going to catch you, and we'll see who you are and what you take. And you'll be in trouble. So don't steal here. Steal somewhere else, okay? Don't do that here because we'll see you. And so they gave to the Lord. You say, oh, why are you talking about giving? Well, if the Bible talks about giving, I'm going to talk about it, right? I heard somebody say one time, you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the only one that yelps is the one that gets hit. I don't think you should talk about giving. Well, the rock might have just hit you, you know? If you don't have a problem with it, it probably doesn't bother you. But the people realized that this was our obligation. We want to honor God and show our gratefulness to God by giving a 10%, and then that would actually be used in the supply of the priests and the Levites and their families to eat. It was very set up by God. God honored that. That's the way the priests and the Levites' needs were supplied. I think in the New Testament it says, they that preach the gospel should live off the gospel. I think it's right for a church to support its pastor financially. Now, some churches can't fully support a pastor, and so you hear the term bivocational, and you know that can be on the size of the church or the amount of the giving. But I think when a church honors its pastor, as you guys have done very well to me through the years, God honors that. I think when a church honors missionaries and supporting them, or special guest speakers, or anybody that is sharing the word and helping people grow in their faith. Well, I wish I got paid that much for a day or whatever the offering might be. Well, maybe you do, but I think the principle is when we honor God's work and God's servant, God honors that church. And when the Israelites were faithful to the law and the command of God in their giving to the temple, then God blessed the nation. Now, as you give, we're talking about money now, as you give money to the church, then the church is responsible to be good stewards of that money. So if we spend in a way that's not honoring to God, then God will deal with us about it. But if you are faithful in your giving, God deals with you. And I think the New Testament passage that's very important to look at is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 9, because I think this just sort of puts it in a nutshell, all you really need to know about giving in today's world. Not 10%. I personally believe the tithe was for the Jews. It was a different situation. I think 1 Corinthians chapter 9 tells us what we should think about. Listen to this. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds gets a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart, not what the preacher says, not what the church says. You must decide in your heart what you should give. But don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. Don't give out of guilt or you think somebody's looking at you when the offering plate's passed. I better put something in. Somebody's going to think something bad. Don't do that. Give because it's what you want to do because God's been so good to you and you give out of joy because God loves a cheerful giver. But if I give, I'm not going to be able to pay my bills. I'm barely making it now. Well, the next part of the verse, and God will generously provide all you need. So it's a matter of trust. So go back and look at that passage. You give what you feel God laid on your heart. I mean, I look at our life, and I'm not talking about financially, but otherwise, God has blessed our family. You know, and whether it's in my financial giving or whether it's in my service to the Lord, I'm grateful to God for what He's done for me. You know, God has been faithful to me at times when I haven't been faithful to Him. Can you agree with that? Has He been faithful to you? You know, sometimes God blesses us in spite of us. And so the Levites and the people said, you know, we're gonna honor God. We're going to bring our sacrifices to the temple. We're going to bring our gifts to the storehouses. And they did. Verse 46, the custom of having choir directors to lead the choirs in hymns of praise and thanksgiving to God began long ago in the days of David, Asaph. So this was 400 years before it was written here in the book of Nehemiah. At least 400 years ago, when David was living, is when the idea of choirs came about. Now, if you sing in the choir, how did we get started? How did the choir start? Well, 1 Chronicles chapter 15, let me read it to you. You can mark this down so y'all can talk about this in choir tonight. 1 Corinthians, while you're eating with the pastor, 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 16. David also ordered the Levite leaders to appoint a choir of Levites who were singers and musicians to sing joyful songs to the accompaniment of harps and lyres and cymbals. That's where it started. Should churches have choirs today? I like the idea of a choir. I think you get a lot of people involved in ministry. They're very talented. They wouldn't be involved in ministry if you don't have a choir. Well, I went to church and all they had was a praise team. They didn't have a choir. I think that's what we should do, praise team. So we don't know what we're doing, so we just have both, praise team and choir. So, okay, is my wife here? Because I might need somewhere to, there she is. I might need somewhere to eat tonight after I said that. We do know what we're doing. So if you go to a church that doesn't have a choir, don't say, well, the preacher said you're right. I'm not saying that. You got to do what God leads your church to do. For our church, for our two services that we have a choir. And they sing joyfully to the Lord, and I thank God for them. And for the practice and the time and for the effort that they put in. And it all goes back to David. David, the harpist, the David, the musician, David, the shepherd boy, David, the king, loved music. And choirs were an instrumental part of his life and ministry. And even in Nehemiah's day, they had these large Levites that were a part of the choir. And then close with verse 47. So now in the days of Zerubbabel and Nehemiah, all Israel brought a daily supply of food for the singers and the gatekeepers and the Levites. The Levites in turn gave a portion of what they received to the priests, the descendants of Aaron. Again, just obedience to the law. So in chapter 12, we see this great dedication of the walls and the celebration, this joyous celebration that took place that included these choirs and these singers and these instrumentalists as they walked around the wall. I can imagine what must have happened miles away as this faint sound came to this village. Honey, what's that sound? And Tobiah said, oh no, I don't hear anything. You know how guys do. Listen, Tobiah went outside and sounds like singing. And maybe somebody around him said, you know what's going on? Those Jews are walking on that wall singing. And Tobiah, remember, if you've been with us in a study, Tobiah was an arch enemy of Israel and especially the walls. You know what I'd have been singing if I was on that wall and I could sing? I'd probably be singing, I'm a big fat guy walking on the wall. The wall's not falling down like they said it would. You think a fox will break it down? I'm not breaking it down. We got 10,000 people here not breaking it down. Because Tobiah, you remember what Tobiah said? Tobiah said, you feeble Jews, what do you think you're doing? Even if a fox walked on that wall, it'd fall down because y'all can't build anything. And here they are, thousands and thousands on the wall, marching and singing and praising God. Look what he's done. The enemy said it couldn't be done, but God said it can be done. And we're thanking God for it. Amen? 6 o'clock tonight, we're going to eat. 5 o'clock, though, come to listen to the music. If you can't sing, tonight is the night you can pretend you can. See Kelly to make sure we got enough food. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for this celebration. As we, in a few weeks, celebrate our homecoming, you've done great things in our church through the years. Lives have been changed. Homes have been changed. Community has been changed. And we continue to walk in a way where the community hears, hey, up there on the hill, God's doing some things, and the people love him. For your glory, may this happen. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Good day. The Lord bless you.